We go to the messages who are still in the room, because we have been discussing the whole day, and some of us have to give you some messages. I will ask the people who are giving the message to do it short and brief, please. Maybe we can just I can invite Ned, that you can start.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to focus on pillar one, because other people have other.
Ja bym się chciał skoncentrować na filarze pierwszym. Chciałbym zasugerować bardzo coś, taką tabletkę. Permanentne łąki, 50 milionów hektarów w Europie. I są one bardzo korzystne. Dostarczają wiele korzyści odnośnie zmian klimatycznych, ochrony przed powodziami. Chciałbym zaproponować coś.
And also be easy to administer. We have done a study. 20% of these grasslands are currently outside the CAP, so they're not being encouraged to provide these public goods. So it would be wonderful if small-scale farmers could be, if the new CAP does not forget the importance of small-scale farmers, not because they're poor and they need it, but because of the fantastic goods they supply. And one way to bring in small-scale farmers would be to propose a flat rate payment. We can judge, we can discuss what a small-scale farmer is, and I hope there will be a European level for, definition of a small-scale farmer. But I would like to suggest on behalf of ARC that small-scale farmers receive a flat rate payment of, say, €2,500 per holding, which would be very easy to administer, and it would support the provision of public goods in a very strong way. Thank you.
This morning in the debate you underlined the urgency of this kind of policy, otherwise in 20 years it will be gone.
And one other point is the definition of permanent pasture as well, and the idea that permanent pasture is defined in a very loose way currently in the CAP. If it could be defined more accurately and a top-up payment could be given for permanent pasture, this would have a very, very big impact on the provision of public goods, and it would help feed the money where it needs to go. And as Arye says, this is an urgent problem because we are losing these public goods-related grasslands at a very rapid rate at the moment. And it's connected with rural vitality as well.
Ned Page, thank you very much. Antje Köhling.
Yes, I'm Antje Köhling. I'm from the iForm EU group, but I don't want to speak on behalf of the iForm EU group now, but want to draw the conclusion or want to present.
You have now also a big arc.
I have a big arc head on now, and I want to present the conclusions of this morning's discussion on greening and sustainability, and want to add a little bit to what Nat has already started. So we wanted to say we welcome very much that the Commission wants to dedicate 30% of the first pillar money to greening, but we want to emphasize that, of course, the whole food system needs to be greened, and this 30% can only be a start. So this can be a phasing in, but we really want to see clear and enhanced standards for all farmers. Moreover, for the second pillar, I wanted to say we are very much very happy that the European Parliament and the European Commission have committed to sustain the second pillar as strong as it is, but we would have liked to see it stronger, and we would like to emphasize that the second pillar must be strengthened, because this is where the really important measures are to go further in protecting public goods, in developing more sustainable agricultural systems, and we want to make sure that agro-environmental measures get a lot of attention and support in the future, and that in all rural development programs, sustainability is addressed and is strengthened. And we want to say that high nature value farming and organic farming as most sustainable systems should get special attention. And I just want to shortly present these fact sheets that were prepared by some environmental NGOs, The Truth Behind the CAP, where you can find some problems in agriculture, environmental problems that have been partly caused by the CAP, by the and agricultural system supported by the CAP, and that also presents two solutions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Antje. Who else has suggestions, ideas, proposals?
Yes, thank you, Chair. My name is Dorota Sienkiewicz. I work for the European Public Health, the Public Health and Agriculture Consortium. And I participated this morning in the discussions with the civil society stakeholders. And one of the issues that we debated, and it was very, very boldly put on the agenda, was the huge potential and a huge role for the CAP in the public health objectives, which is reducing the existing huge and growing burden of non-communicable diseases and health inequalities in all the societies in Europe. And it's and not only a question of malnutrition in terms of undernutrition, but also overconsumption. So my point to raise here, and I would jump up on what Mr. Marek Sawicki said, be bold, go out of the box, is not only talk about food production in terms of competitiveness, money, etc., but focus also on the food consumption side. And
can you come to your proposal, please?
Invite all the sectors for the CAP to really deliver the to be multi-functional. Invite health, climate change to get as much as there is, because it's waiting for it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. In that corner.
Yeah, Grevitz Baringdorf.
My name is Baringdorf. I'm the president of the working group for family farming, Bäuerliche Landwirtschaft. Mr. Commissioner, there needs to be a relation between the first pillar and the second pillar. Up until now, we've had a compensation logic. The second pillar compensated for the damages caused by the first pillar. This is the logic we followed so far. It hasn't worked out right so far, and it will not work out right in the future. And when it now comes to greening, we must not make the mistake of using the second pillar to compensate for all the damages, because then it would go to the dogs, both in terms of its concepts and the financial resources. It has to become more independent and autonomous. I do think that we need to come, that greening needs to be subject to certain conditions in the first pillar. Those conditions need to be transparent, understandable, and easy to follow for the farmers and for society at large. And I think that this will actually take us a big step further, and then we would have a better correlation between the first pillar and the second pillar and would make this much more sustainable for the future. Thank you.
Beautiful music, but yeah. Can someone put his phone off?
Tim Lang from London. I want to repeat what I've said to the Commissioner a month ago and pick up what our colleague Dorota. Shall I compete with the telephone? I'm over here, by the way.
Okay. No terror of technology.
I carry on. I want to repeat what I said to the Commissioner a month ago and pick up what my colleague in Public Health, Dorota, said. The specifics that we in Public Health want is a consolidation of the existing small programs with a nutrition and public health implication into a public health program around CAP. Specifically, the issue of fruit and vegetables and their access into schools. Secondly, a more problematic one of school milk. And thirdly, the role and integration of nutrition education, which is occurring in different DG Directorate General, but could be championed much more under DG Agro, not just jointly with DG Sanko. So there are some specifics to deliver a public health element into the CAP.
Thank you very much. Jim Harkness.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just also like to repeat for the Commissioner some of the comments I made earlier today that you weren't able to hear, namely that I think that the ARC process is an incredibly important one. The breadth of the consultation that the Commission is undertaking for farm policy is something that the United States and many other countries could learn from. But I also think that in addition to consultation within the EU, there are still many opportunities and a need for consultation internationally. We no longer have food and agriculture systems that are bound by one country or one region. We have global food systems and global trade systems, and so I think that especially in consideration of issues like finance and trade, market stability, environment, there are a number of issues that would really benefit from further international dialogue, and so I would encourage you to continue that and, again, congratulate you on the process so far.
Thank you very much. We have only 10 minutes left. One remark from Roberts, and then we go back here to the panel.
Thank you. In order to enable rural areas to fulfill their role and maybe to unfold their potential, to contribute to a smart, sustainable and inclusive society, which will be a solar society in the future, ARC stresses the importance of maintaining a strong support to rural areas, rural people and communities, comprehensively and going beyond the sectoral focus of Pillar 2, which also includes the necessity to build and develop capacities to self-organize, to strengthen local governance, to build polycentric patterns of political organization, economic flows, social interaction, which is so important for the resilience of not only of the European but also of the world. And we think that the leader method should be the guiding pattern for this continual effort, also in line and in synergy with similar program schemes in structural funds which address urban and coastal areas, which could then be interlinked in the sense that Commissioner Colos mentioned in his priority for urban-rural interaction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe I can go the other way around, and I start with you. If you want to react on what's been saying in the past.
Ich brauche nur noch 10 Sekunden.
Yeah, I only require 10 seconds. I can only repeat what's been said. It has been made very clear that the European agriculture must change from what it is now. So be courageous, be bold. You've got the civil society's fought for it.
Around, and I go now to our Polish friend.
Yes, I'll be very brief. Noah's Ark has saved the world once, and Ark today has a very important role to play today in order to renew CAP, in order to make it more sustainable, more friendly towards the environment, towards the consumer. And what Mrs. Sienkiewicz has mentioned, the issue of not only the production and financing, but building the conscious, the civic conscious, and when in agriculture we will be producing, and I'm saying creating the food in accordance to nature, friendly towards a consumer, then our colleagues, the doctors, will have less work. And this is the common task which is ahead of us.
The interest of the health in the CAP. Thank you very much. Mr. Dess.
So, Schönen Dank. Ich kann auch.
Thank you very much. I can also be very brief in summarizing my statement. I'm very happy that we've received so many comments. Not all of the comments will be able to be integrated. I've seen that you cannot simply take on board every proposal. This is what I felt when I drafted my report. In the first draft of my report, I wanted to strengthen the second pillar, and I can tell you that I came up against a lot of resistance, even within my own parliamentary group. I can tell you that I went smack into the wall with the Spanish, the Portuguese and the French members of parliament, even in my own parliamentary group, because they didn't want to do away with the first pillar. This is why I couldn't get a majority for this. And I would like to invite the commissioner not to create the possibility for certain member states of the European Union to shift money from the second pillar to the first pillar in order to keep the first pillar at a high level, because this would even increase the current discrepancies in the European Union. We have some countries who currently spend very little in the second pillar, and if they were to spend these cash resources to the first pillar, we would really be in a dire situation. There is a need for discussion, and we also need to make sure that all the abuses of the current common agricultural policy, giving rise to certain problems that are unimaginable. And we already heard this from certain colleagues. A colleague from Lombardy in Italy, for example, reported that some farmers in Italy are leasing arable land in the mountains simply in order to get direct payments, because these are less favoured areas. I think that this is a clear case of abuse. We need to talk about this, and we need to come up with remedies in order to do away with this sort of situation. And you can't read this from my report, but I've got certain ideas on this. I think that we could introduce a totally new system, a totally new payment system by 2014, with all of the old payment claims and rights to receive payments being discontinued. So we really have to continue this. I think that with your support and with all civil society organizations, we will come up with a good solution for the common agricultural policy, not only until 2020, but 2050.
At least the title of our conference this afternoon was our voice of ARC, was our voice here from the civil society. At least when we're talking about Pillar 2 and rural development, maybe we have to open our mouths still a little bit louder the next months. Huh? Jan.
Je sais pas si...
I don't know whether in the coming months it's important how loud you shout, but what you shout. Because your shouting has been heard, your voice has been heard. You may have seen it in the financial perspectives. To avoid any ambiguity, we clarified the first and the second pillar in such a way that a balance is maintained. And as Mr. Baringdorf was saying, the second pillar will not be the panacea for any errors in the first pillar. But what I would like to see is that it should, that in the future common agricultural policy, there should be a real complementarity between the first and the second pillars. So that with these two pillars, with a general European approach or with a local approach, we can cover the three big objectives we defined for our agricultural policy. But the common agricultural policy, with the first and second pillar, as some of you may have noticed, also needs to be filled with specific concrete ideas, which we are doing now in our legislative proposals. And we also need to be aware of the dimension of agriculture in Europe, because the heart core, the central element of agriculture remains, I think that's clear for everybody, is food production. But agriculture in Europe is much more than mere food production. It's much more than managing a market of food products. There is another dimension, the territorial environmental dimension of agriculture, management and of natural resources, stewardship of natural resources. So the clearer role of agriculture in the management of natural resources, I think that is something, that's a dimension where we also, well, there's something where we need a European dimension. That's why we propose this under the first pillar, not to, to avoid doing in the first pillar what is being done in the second pillar, not to weaken the second pillar, because the greening was put under the first pillar. Some said, well, now we can reduce the budget of the second pillar because we're doing 30% greening under the first pillar, but there's no relation between the two. With the second pillar, we take into account all the specific aspects which were mentioned here, specific elements that you find in some regions or others that need complementary support. And as Lutz River was saying, some farmers have higher production costs because they have chosen to they have chosen agricultural practice which take these elements into account and which is important for the rest of society. And a specific payment for that under the second pillar, and that will remain and will be diversified. But what we're doing under the first pillar, at least with the proposals we're making for the greening measures, is a signal that we send out. With the greening of the first pillar, we're not necessarily asking the farmers to have additional production costs, to incur additional production costs for that greening. But there are some easy agricultural practices, crop rotation, diversification of crops. I'm saying it again, I've said this several times. I think that common sense in agriculture justifies that on the same plot you may have a different crop to diversify to help the soil regenerate its fertility. Some people practice monoculture, and maybe then we have a problem in the long term. So this is agricultural practice which is sustainable in the long term, crop rotation. I don't think that crop rotation questions productivity if it's well managed, and the proof is that some farmers practice crop rotation and have a high performance, and by having three or four different types of crops on their farm, rotating, maintaining permanent green land with extensive production systems which are also valorized on the market, this is not something that will necessarily increase production costs. The fact that you take into account some forms of biodiversity in some parts of the farm, I don't think that this is something that is liable to reduce production. Some people said, well, the commissioner is again proposing set aside, leaving land out, while there is so much demand for foodstuffs on the market, and here in Europe we simply set land aside. It's not set aside we're proposing. What we are proposing is not to set aside land simply for the pleasure of setting it aside, but there are some areas in the farm which are not fit for cultivation. And even in the current regulation of the Commission, there are some aberrations. For instance, a tree in the middle of a field, of a plot, must be excluded from the payment rights. And you need to identify the surface of the projection of that tree on the surface and exclude that surface from the payment rights. So that type of vegetation, or areas with more stones, or canals which are not eligible for payment, and farmers and want to push, of course, to increase the areas to these, or the cultivable surfaces to these areas, to get as much payment as possible. So now all these features will be recognized, plus financial support so for these zones in the farm which may not have an agronomic value, a productive value, be maintained, because they have an important role to play for the whole of the farm, for the consistency, for the biotope of the whole farm. which does not necessarily cause additional production costs. It's simply additional attention for farmers to maintain these forms of vegetation or other features, and through the payment system, farmers to be encouraged to maintain this and develop this. And I think in that way we can combine production, productivity, producing enough to live on your production, but also to produce in a sustainable way. Because once again, if we build our competitiveness on the short term, only on high production from here to next year, I don't think that we can really talk about maintaining the capacity to produce in the European Union. Then there is the connection between agriculture, food and health. And the common agricultural policy, I think, can do more in the future, not only by supporting the food chain from the producer to the consumer, but also with programs we currently have on fruit, for instance, in schools, milk in schools. From there, we can perhaps develop this program, also including education, nutritional education. And this shouldn't be abandoned simply to the educational sector. I think farmers in the future will need to reconnect to the reality and the expectations of the consumers. So these programs, fruit and milk in the schools and other types of programs, can also help farmers to better convey, to better transmit the knowledge of their work to future consumers, to young people, to children in school. And my intention would be that, starting with this program, which is a good experience, we can develop something broader together with the educational systems and together with the health systems to make sure that farming or products are not simply promoted, or farming is not simply promoted, but we also educate children to a healthy consumption, a consumption that is linked to the reality of production. Even if you won't see any specific proposals in the current package, note that we're working in our services, we're developing a legislative proposal that is going in that direction, together with Commissioner Dali and Commissioner Vassiliou, and built on the program that already exists in the Common Agricultural Policy, something broader with a greater impact. And there's another point I wanted to come back to, and that's the relationship between rural areas and urban areas. Rural policy and agricultural policy. You mentioned the LEADER method. We try to develop this concept and make sure that the LEADER program, which is now being consolidated at local level and national level, that LEADER should not lose its original substance. And that is that it was as a trigger for innovation in terms of social organization, innovation in proposals for economic activity. So what we're going to propose is that in parallel to the consolidated LEADER programs we now have, we should have for the newcomers, the new member states, but also for territories which have never experienced LEADER, to propose a sort of startup LEADER to encourage small territories to develop a strategy, a local strategy, but already have specific instruments to start some small projects at local level, even before the local strategy has been fully adopted and integrated in the general system. So we call it the startup LEADER. We're also thinking of an instrument that would give a European dimension to LEADER, and also cooperation between member states by stimulating ideas and projects. I'm not going to give you any further details. You're going to see in October. In any case, we'll want to suggest an instrument, a European instrument. The size, well, the budget wouldn't be so big, but it would again play the role of initiating small projects at European level. And the LEADER program We're going to strengthen the LEADER program, and it will include this rural-urban dimension to avoid these administrative and budget barriers which don't allow any investments from rural to urban and vice versa, although it's justified in the logic of the project. So, I've tried to be very brief, but at the same time wanted to whet your appetite for what is coming in October, and also to tell you that your work is not finished, and I think your work is only starting. It will be starting in October, because you will need to turn all these legislative proposals into something concrete and tangible in parallel with the process going on in the Council, the debates in the Council and in Parliament. I think that the debate in the civil society is fully justified. When we come to the implementation stage, at least you know what we're talking about and you're ready to get involved. Thank you. Thank you.
Vous avez dit un bon appétit.
You said you want to whet our appetite for what's coming in October. It's good that we talk about food in food terms. We can say we have great appetite for October. We're starving for these proposals. Michael Dauer.
We're running out of time, so keep it short.
No, I don't deserve to be allowed a last word, but simply I want to say through you, Chairman, that ARC will continue, that we will continue to contribute to these debates, and we appeal to those organisations which have chosen to come today, thanking them for their presence, to contribute themselves to that search for an effective consensus and the long-term partnership. That's a word I like to pick up. It's a partnership not only at this level, at European level. We need that partnership between government and civil society at national level. We need it at regional level, and we need it emphatically at the sub-regional level at which LEADER and other partnerships operate. So I thank the Commissioner and I thank the other public speakers for being so good as to come and to take us seriously over this last 18 months. Now, please, we will take them seriously, and I hope they'll take us continuing seriously over the next 18 months.
Thank you very much, Michael, for your last words. Also, I think from this side, everybody, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think the presidency,
thank you,
6 months courage, that's young. 18 months courage. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. And there will be, for journalists who want to speak for 5 minutes more, they are still available. Other things to announce?